Here should be good. So who are you and what brought you down here today?
My name is Angela Veternick, and I'm here for the Green Schools Conference, Green and Healthy School Conference. This is the sixth annual, and I've attended five. So I'm here to see how it's grown and to learn all of the new developments over the last year.
And your school has participated in the Green and Healthy Schools redevelopment process. Tell me a little bit about what that's been like for you and for the school.
So, initially I came to the second conference, and that was the first time I had learned of the conference. And I saw some plans for redevelopment of a schoolyard. And for my school, as a growing school, I knew that we were going to need a bigger playground. We were going to need some changes. So to see some of this green infrastructure go into the schools, or even the planning of what they were doing, it was amazing. You know, I've taught in MPS for almost 18 years, and the playgrounds are usually just concrete yards as far as you can see. And I know that children need to play, children need to explore. And for Baby Montessori, I knew even more so in the Montessori curriculum, we incorporate so much exploration, trying to inspire children to ask questions, to learn on their own, to investigate things. So for me, it was like, we need this. We need this grant. We need people to help us to develop something truly functional for, you know, first, but also that's going to be sustainable, something that children are going to learn to enjoy, and they're going to be able to use as they learn and grow in our school. So I hunted down Justin and I said, "Justin, you got to tell me more about this. How do I get involved?" And he said, just apply. It's not a long application. But I spent a lot of hours going through this application because I thought, and it actually was a team of us at my school. We spent a lot of hours trying to incorporate our passion and our excitement for something like for the redevelopment of our schoolyard. And even though we didn't get selected the first year, Justin said, "Come back. you guys have what it takes. We could only pick five schools," and we did just that. So we revamped our application a little bit and our presentation. And after the second year, we were thrilled to find out that we got the grant. And it just started to unfold from there. It's very organized, and I think everybody was just so so amazed at how the pieces started to come together. I know that we weren't orchestrating all those pieces, but we were certainly helping to bring those pieces together. We involved children in, you know, the planning process, and that was really, we were sort of surprised that, you know, we were able to do that. They wanted those children's voices to, "Hey, what do you want in your schoolyard?" And I think, you know, through working with engineers at was it UWM, and you know, the planning process came together, fine-tuned it over the course of a year, and then it went to fundraising, and our families were so supportive. I know that they could feel how wonderful this would be for our children as well, so we were surprised at how much we were able to raise initially. And over one summer, our whole schoolyard was redeveloped. Children returned and were able to just explore and learn and find new things. And I think it looks, I mean, some people are like, "It looks like a park." But it's like, yes, it looks like a welcoming place to sit or play or even learn. We have like four outdoor classrooms. And it's just really exciting to see what we're going to be able to do in this next phase.
How have you used the space so far with your students?
Good. A lot of it was fenced off. However, it was fun to see how the children used it initially just during recess. I saw a lot more different kinds of activities than when we just had the concrete slab or a big concrete yard. I saw lots of different, kids looking in the grass or in the areas. Now, once the fencing is completely removed, I think I'll see a lot more of that. A lot more different kinds of play. So the different areas were marked off. So now there's more soccer games going on the big field. And we sometimes have kickball going on or baseball, even a football pickup game. There's enough space for that. We have an outdoor classroom where I've seen children give presentations. So maybe just getting out of the classroom and being able to kind of be in a different environment. I've seen it used. I personally used it when I was still in the classroom, and I was able to take some of the great stories that we have in Montessori and present them in this natural space, and then give the children a chance to like learn. So, for example, in Montessori, we tell the story of the coming of life, and we talk about how it started in the oceans with single cells and then evolved from there. And then we were able to take magnifying glasses and find life. And it was exciting to see children find even just a little bit of life in the area around us. You probably wouldn't find that in the classroom. So I'm excited to see how we're going to use the cart next year. Our green team has been dedicated to cleaning the space, and I feel like they want more gardens. We've got like two now, so we're doing more fundraising to try to get places where they can plant things. They seem really excited about planting things. I don't think they know how slow things are, but they'll learn, and I think that's the only way they're going to learn. So it's been exciting to see them think about the space, or even just imagine what they could do in the space.
You talked about kind of the ingredients coming together. What are those critical ingredients to this kind of project succeeding? In terms of, I guess, the kinds of people who are involved in that process. I mean, you're a very motivated teacher who kind of kept at it and had a good plan, but you also have, you need partnerships with the administration at the school, at the board, or at the district level. Talk to me a little bit about how those ingredients came together in this process.
I mean, a lot of it's behind the scene. I think Justin does a lot of work that we don't always get to see. We just get to see the result of it. But what we do get to see is, our home base. We've got administration on board supporting our green team efforts. Our engineer helping out, and even for a while, before COVID, we were doing a compost program. So we had the kitchen staff on board with helping to compost uneaten food. And I think the students need to have a say in it too. So it's not just us telling them what they can and can't do with the space or, with the project ideas. And I think now that we're all going to be back in the building, hopefully in 2022, 2021, that we will see, more people coming up with ideas. Those ideas, were halted a little bit because of COVID and us not being in the building. I think I'm away from the topic. So
that's okay.
The ingredients.
The people who came together to make it happen. People who wanted to kind of, the stars aligning for it.
Yeah.
But the other question would just be like other ways that you've seen the space valued by the community members. You said some people were thinking of it almost like a park, but it's really for the kids who are there. So you've got sort of a nurturing community in Bayview that, generally is not going to like vandalize the space. Mm-hmm. So how have you seen the community members embrace the space as well?
Well, we see people bring in their dogs, so we know that they think it's a park. So we're hoping that, with some signage, we can kind of encourage people to use it more as a school-based park. I know that family members, after they pick up their children, they'll be sitting on benches, they'll be hanging out. You know, they like to play on the, we have like a climbing structure, but I see them using the trails or even the wooden climbing structures that we have there after, you know, after school. So it's not just something that they can use during school, but, you know, if their children are there and they're just picking them up after, they can do that. We have more organized sports after school too, so we have volunteer parents who are organizing and coaching soccer teams, football teams. We had a track team. And so to see them use the field, you know, that's been really cool too, because without that, I don't know that they would have been in that space. And just make it something that they are happy to have, right, available to them.
What's just a little bit about your personal professional trajectory to get to where you are? Like, what made you passionate as an educator? Why did you choose that field? What keeps you inspired to keep stay there even when it can be really tough?
So, I mean, my background is in English, but I didn't know what I wanted to do when I graduated, so I went to the Peace Corps, and I served in the Dominican Republic for two years. And since I was a Spanish major, they kind of just threw me into a field where they could show me, you know, they could teach me about whatever tech, you know, whatever I needed to know to help the community that I was put in. So it was called agroforestry, and I was stationed in a very small town in the mountains of the Dominican Republic, and the farmers there weren't used to having an American, for one, but they also weren't used to having a woman who worked in, like, the fields, like, in the farming area. And they all farmed on the hills, on the side of the hills, on the slope. And their techniques were to slash and burn. And the things that we learned were intercropping and building barriers and things like that. Not difficult things to learn, but very difficult to teach.
Sure.
But while I was there, I realized that they didn't have a lot of things that they needed. So, you know, as a Peace Corps volunteer, we did a community diagnostic of, like, what are their needs and what's the most important. And the first thing that was apparent was they needed latrines. They didn't have any bathrooms to go in, and there was no running water, and there was no electricity. So one of my partners who lived down the hill a couple of hours and I, we organized a group of men, well, and women from each village to help create a project for building latrines. And from that, we were able to continue and build, you know, multiple different plots, farming, and encourage them not to slash and burn their crops, but to value the different things inside of their little, they called them canucos, but they were like multi-level gardens that they planted in, having trees and also yearly crops. But that aside, I think my love of environment sort of started then a little bit. However, they didn't have, well, they had a school, but it was just like a shack. And the teacher would come up every once in a while, and the kids would carry their own chairs on the top of their heads up to the little leaning schoolhouse and start to teach classes. And I think he had two different classes a day when he did show up. So he wasn't a member of the community, which made it hard. And eventually, they did build a bigger school. A different organization came in and built a school. But they weren't part of the community either. So there wasn't that buy-in of, hey, let's organize the people in your community to come up with a project. So when I came back to the United States, MPS was looking for bilingual teachers, and I started with that. But I really felt like the calling was to be involved in environment, to continue working with children. And somehow I feel like this has all brought me to where I am now, working as a Montessori teacher, but, you know, developing a green team and helping to build that as a part of our school. A lot of different pieces, but I think it's all the passion that your experience with nature, with children, all of those things come together, and they you know, they start deep inside you and they somehow guide you to the choices that you make. So for me, that was Peace Corps and then working in MPS as a bilingual teacher and eventually going into the Montessori program and working at Bayview Montessori.
Well, I can tell it's a passion of yours just from observing you at other meetings and knowing kind of how you roll as an external observer. So
yeah.
It's very much to your credit, like what's happened. So congratulations on all of that. I'm going to